Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAY25 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week we are talking about Final Fantasy cards. There's been a ton spoiled. This is supposed to be a standard set. For some reason, there are a lot of cards that feel like they could be CEDH cards. We're going to talk about one or two or three of them.
And for some reason, there's a lot of cards already to talk about, and our set review isn't set to release for a couple of weeks yet.
We got like two more weeks of previews, I think. Maybe three at this point.
Yeah,
like that.
But by then, all these cards are going to be old news.
Old news. We're going to have moved on from. Yeah.
So no one's going to care because we're going to have spoilers for the Spider-Man set more by
then.
Yeah,
we're going to be working on Spider-Man by the time we get to the set review of this one. So that set review is still coming. We're just going to talk about a couple ones that have caught our attention since they have been spoiled.
Yeah, things that we're thinking about. Maybe some commanders that we'll play for our upcoming set gameplay episode.
Well said.
I know, I did not stumble on those words at all.
Do you have an idea which one you want to talk about first? Do you have a preference?
Well, I mean, I think we did a lot of talking about Vivi, so I don't think we need to spend a lot of time talking about Vivi.
We'll talk about Vivi more.
Well,
at
definitely,
some point,
yeah. You know? There's definitely going to be more Vivi, you know. Yeah. But I don't think I want to start there. So good thing I brought Vivi up first.
Thank you for bringing it up first.
You're welcome.
Yeah, good call.
I think that Terra is the other one that I'm second most interested in.
Food chain,
right? Yeah. Like that's perfect.
This one's a crazy one. We should read what Terra does.
Let's read what Terra does. Yeah, because this is a 5-color commander, but you wouldn't know it from looking at the front of the card. Do you have it?
I do. Oh, yeah. Terra Magical Adept. For one, a green and a red, you get a legendary creature, human wizard warrior, that's a 4/2, and says whenever Terra enters, mill 5 cards. Put up to 1 enchantment card milled this way into your hand. Some notable cards are Food Chain and Underworld Breach.
Ooh, yeah.
The second mode and all of the other text that is nothing is Trance. For a 4 red and a green, you can tap it to exile Terra, then return it to the battlefield transformed under its owner's control, activate only as a sorcery, and when you flip it, you get a 6/6 flying legendary enchantment creature saga wizard that has 4 different chapter abilities, but the first 3 are the same.
Okay.
The first 3 are create a token that's a copy of target non-legendary enchantment you control. It gains haste. If it's a saga, put up to 3 lore counters on it. Sacrifice it at the beginning of your next end step. And the fourth mode is add white-white, blue-blue, black-black, red-red, and green-green, and exile Esper Terra, then return it to the battlefield face-up.
So funny now that we have 2 5-color commanders that are 5 colors because the backside
is
5 colors.
Technically, that makes it 5 colors, and so it is, and so it is. So what this really is doing is with Food Chain and Squee, you can cast Squee over and over again from exile as Food Chain exiles the Squee. Once you make a billions of creature mana, you can cast Terra over and over again, milling your library, revealing as many enchantments as you want, putting them into your hand, and the rest of the cards into your graveyard. That's almost a win. From there, there's a couple of ways that you can actually win the game. The one that I have included in my list is Modern All-Star Overlord of the Balemurk. Balemurk. That's what this card is.
This was so sick.
Overlord of the Balemurk is a 3 black-black for an enchantment creature avatar horror. It's important that it's both an enchantment and a creature. It's an enchantment that your Terra can get from your library as you're doing its ability over and over again, but it's also a creature that you can cast with the Food Chain mana that you're making. Food Chain only makes creature mana, so you need to be able to cast this.
That's really smart.
What Overlord does, it has impending. That kind of doesn't matter for this, but what it does is when it enters or attacks, you mill 4 cards, then you may return a non-avatar creature from the graveyard or planeswalker to your hand. Thassa Zorkel is a non-avatar creature.
Oh, that's perfect.
Perfect, yeah. So that's my thought going into this, is that you mill your whole library with your commander, you get Overlord of the Balemurk, and then you just get back to Thassa Zorkel and cast Thassa Zorkel. 5-color food chain.
5-color food chain, yeah.
Right there, it's the recipe of just like 5-color good stuff. We can build around 5-color good stuff, and you technically have a food chain outlet. Right now, that's enough for me to be interested in it.
I think that is good. There is also technically a second enchantment creature that works with this combo instead of just the impending Balemurk Overlord here.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually a few different ways that you could like win the game once you have milled your entire library and then gotten all of the enchantments from your library into your hand. I'm not going to name the most creative ones, but the ones that I will remember to name are Anikitha, Hand of Erebos.
That's the other main one that I think of, yeah.
Yeah, this one also has about a billion words on it, and I tapped the top of my screen, so now I have to scroll all the way back down to find it. So I'm going to talk a little bit longer to fill the dead air while I find this Abzan card, which is both a creature and an enchantment. For two, a white, a black, and a green, you get a legendary enchantment creature demigod, which is cool. It's a 4/4 with menace, and it has other enchantment creatures you control have menace. That's irrelevant. It says whenever Anikitha enters the battlefield or attacks, more Grave Titan stuff, exile up to one target non-aura enchantment card from your graveyard. Create a token that's a copy of that card, except it's a 3/3 black zombie creature in addition to its other types.
So this is just a little bit more risky, right? Because you have to make a token. Like, it gives your opponent another interaction point.
What you're doing is getting back the Underworld Breach from your graveyard with this card. With the food chain mana, you cast this card, you get the food chain back. But yes, you're right. There's a moment where now they can try to remove the Underworld Breach or something like that.
Oh, because her ability is a May, so if you mill over the Underworld Breach, you don't have to put it in your hand.
Her ability is a May, you don't have to. Yeah, okay, you can, I believe. Hold on, let me double check on Terra.
Start reading Terra over from the beginning.
Let's start Terra over from the beginning, and then I'll read the entire card, even though the answer will be given to us immediately. Mill five cards, put up to one enchantment.
Okay,
zero
okay, so
is
you can,
up to.
Okay, so you just leave the...
So you leave the Breach in the graveyard, have this Abzan card, make a copy of the Underworld Breach, but then, yes, it does leave up a situation where your opponent can Odawara your Underworld Breach or something like that. So for me, I just left in the Overlord because it does a similar thing.
I think it's just a better card in general.
I think so. For the two mana effect of like mill the top four and maybe get a creature, that's often going to be kind of bad. But there is a world where like that's like remotely castable. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
It's something that you could do.
It's something you could. It's two mana.
Having it in your hand in general shuts off this line entirely, though.
No, if it's in your hand, you just still go through the food chain line and you just cast it from your hand.
I guess I should say having it on the battlefield, it just kind of makes it a little bit tougher to do.
The trigger happens when it attacks as a creature, though. So if you are impending it, you have to wait until it's a creature again.
Yeah.
So that's kind of risky. Yes, you're
that
right there.
That is risky, but that is cool that you do still have the attack trigger.
You can use Purphoros, the red god, the original one. It's an enchantment creature that you can cast off food chain mana and then just continue your loop with Squee. And then whenever Squee enters, Purphoros triggers, deals a damage.
Yeah, that's true. Because whenever another creature enters a battlefield with Purphoros in play, it deals two damage.
All of these to say, these might not even be the most efficient thing you can do. Someone is probably already in the comments saying, no, no, there's this CDH staple that you can use instead that will work just the same. I haven't found it yet. I'm sure it exists. I'm not sure, but you know, who knows? The important part is that this is a five color food chain. This is a First Sliver-esque deck. And although First Sliver hasn't really seen any real play recently, we just played on the channel and you won with it.
Yeah, that's true. So like it's proven that it can still do stuff, but like a lot of the things that it tries to do can be very risky, and I feel like it can end up falling to itself quite a bit too. One of the biggest downsides is that you don't have access to your commander in First Sliver food chain,
right,
really.
Yeah.
Like, you're never really getting to a point where you want to spend Wooburg on it, where at least I feel like there are situations where it makes sense to cast Terra and actually like try to get some value off of her.
Yeah, I mean, Terra's three mana, which is way different than five mana, and one of it's generic. Obviously, right off the bat, that's obvious. But also, top deck tutors can work pretty well with your Terra.
Oh, like Enlightened Tutor?
If you Enlightened Tutor for a Smothering Tithe, you can get it. I've also included a couple of extra enchantments, like all of the tournament-style Rhystic Study-esque cards, stuff like Steel Enchantment, Mirror Maid, things like that, that you can take other people's Rhystics and copy your own and stuff like that.
Copy Artifact, I would imagine,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, stuff like that, I think, is like really interesting in this deck of just like more ways to gain a little bit of value. But I don't know that that means like that you should be building around Terra. At least the way I'm looking at it is it's a five color good stuff pile with, as we always talk about, like up to 10 unique cards for the commander. Like those are the good decks that are just like 90 of the cards are just good CDH cards that are good without the commander. And then like around 10 of them are like synergistic with the commander.
Because I feel like my first thought would be, well, what First Sliver does is First Sliver just tries to go like as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Like it just wants to find Food Chain and Underworld Breach as fast as they can with like Gifts Ungiven and Intuition and just like really go for it. But like I feel like getting Terra out as a backup plan is something. Well, I guess that's my question. question. Is getting Tara out like a backup plan, or are you actively trying to get Tara out before you go off?
So I'm not sure yet. I haven't even played the deck one time. I am including stuff like Fierce Guardianship and Deflecting Swat because I think like three mana is just like cheap enough that I want to do something. And
it's like Dimna, right?
Right, yeah. And I do think there's a world. I modeled it pretty close to Blue Farm. It looks a lot like Blue Farm, except instead of Ad Nauseam, I'm just playing like Mirror Maiden Steel Enchantment and just like hoping extra copies of Rhystic Study will give me my extra card advantage. I'm not sure if that's right. You know what I mean? There's other things I thought about, like including Spellseeker and Ephemerate and doing the Underworld Breach Final Fortune one card line with Spellseeker. But Ephemerate kind of almost works with your commander. Like, it's good if your commander is going to hit often, but you have to be playing like over 20 enchantments to make it hit often. And there's just not 20 good enchantments, I don't think, in CDH. I'm already stretching it right now, I feel like, in my list, and I'm including 11. And I feel like I have a couple that are a little bit questionable.
Like, is Wild Growth one of them?
Wild Growth is one of them.
Yeah, so like then, like, that's not what you ideally want to hit, but no, like, but if that's what you're spitting into,
it's mana. It's, you know,
at least it's not mana. Like a whiff, right?
Right, it's not a complete whiff. I think there was one more enchantment. Oh, I took out Urza Saga because Urza Saga is an enchantment you can hit, but then I have another colorless land in my five color deck.
That's really hard to do.
Yeah,
already.
That seems a little bit tough. So yeah, I'm not sure if Tara is the next best thing. I'm not saying that, but I do think it's an awesome food chain option coming up. It's a new five color option, which is really good. I think it's better than First Sliver. I don't know. It's just cooler to play a commander that could do something rather than like your commander that does nothing. At least for me,
that
I'm
makes
more
sense.
Interested.
Like having a little bit more like reach in the late game so that you can at least like try to find things that will help you grind a little bit more is where I think you want to be in a turbo deck. So having the option to do both, to go both ways, does make it better than First Chain Food Sliver.
Yeah. And it also just like, it mills four cards, which is good with Underworld Breach. And it finds Underworld Breach.
Yeah.
And
like,
you play
just
Savine's Reclamation.
It sets you up really good.
It makes it so that if you are casting it early, you can just like cast Underworld Breach and you already have so many cards in your graveyard that you can do something with it. Whereas like oftentimes you have to build up to a breach. You have to fill your graveyard first. You have to do a little bit of extra. Your commander feeds the breach. There might even be a line that I'm not thinking of yet that you can loop Tara with the breach out and use it as like a brain freeze or something.
Well, you can. So Tara can also get you like Animate Dead and you could do World Gorger Dragon loops or Abdel Adrian so that you end up milling your whole deck that way then too.
Yeah, I had that line in also, and that was another one along with the Spellseeker that I took out that I was just like thinking like how many wins can I really include in a deck? I already have the Breach line. I have the Food Chain line. I have Thoracle Consultation.
Like, I guess it just depends on like how quick are you trying to go. Maybe I still like Animate Dead even if you're not trying to go for like another reanimate strategy because it still is like a Gifts Ungiven card that you can find with your commander.
This is definitely a Gifts Ungiven deck. It's a Savine's Reclamation. It's an Intuition. Intuition is closer to my Ad Nauseam of just like my big like advantage. Not really advantage spell because it'll be closer to a win con a lot of times, but I imagine there'll be a lot of situations where I can find Savine's Reclamation, Underworld Breach, Counterspell, or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm going to try it out. I think Terra's something. I don't think it's the best commander in the set. I think VV is really good. But we're not talking about VV this week.
No.
We're not talking about VV this week. We're talking about other stuff. You have a commander you want to talk about?
The other one that was like a big, clear standout to me was the Yashulta.
Yashulta commander. This is hard for me to remember the name of this for some reason.
This
Yashulta one
has been around for a little while, and I'm specifically interested in the Esper version of Yashulta because I found out there is a mono blue Yashulta.
And that's not what we're talking about
and
here.
I'm not as interested in that one, yeah. She's one, a white and a blue and a black for a 2/4 legendary cat warlock with vigilance, and at the beginning of each end step, if a player lost 4 or more life this turn, you draw a card. And whenever you cast a non-creature spell with mana value 3 or greater, Yashulta deals 2 damage to each opponent and you gain 2 life. I think the second part of her is a little bit more like flavor text that goes along with her just like a little bit. I don't necessarily think I would want to start building a la Glarb style when it doesn't actually give me more card advantage on itself. Like, I have to consistently be casting 2, 4 or more drops because it's more than 3.
And you have to cast 2 of them to trigger by herself. In my head,
It is 3 or greater.
So Fierce Guardianship would trigger it.
Yeah, and Savine's Reclamation.
Cool. In my head, the way that this is going to go is that someone's going to take 1, 2, or 3 damage, and then you can cast your snuff out or something like that.
Yeah.
It's going to cantrip. You want to get rid of the Draenith Magistrate anyway, or what? I don't know. That doesn't make sense because you have your commander out, but whatever. You know, you're going to do it anyway. You like add to it. I feel like that's going to happen more often than not.
Yeah, I could see that. I think there's no commander now that's coming out that's made me more sad that Mana Crypt isn't around anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I'm thinking of this as like a similar to Italian type of commander. It doesn't trigger exactly the same, obviously, but I think you're going to use stuff like Blood Chief's Ascension, like you would with Talion.
A lot of that same stuff.
Do similar, just like Esper mid-range grind, try to draw cards and whittle your opponents down on their life total, but more whittling their life total down thought of as a resource, not trying to kill them with the damage. I think you're just like making their ad nauseums and their necros and stuff like that worse. That's the point of the life loss.
Yeah, it ends up being a long game strategy that you have access to, where like you can start to drain your opponents and really make like all of the cards that rely on their life total, like their one rings that they've been packing onto for
now
a while.
Now it gets a little tighter. Now it gets a little harder. I think what you're after for this card is the card draw. So you want your opponents to lose four more life or whatever to get the card draw. That's,
right,
that's when it triggers.
At the beginning of each end step.
If an opponent lost four or more life, you draw a card.
If a player. So it could be you too.
So if you snuff out, that's a draw right there no matter what. Because it's, the snuff out, you pay for life.
If dismember, a player. But
ooh. Dismember's good.
Yeah, even like fetch shock into something else too. That really helps you get really close. Fetch shock into
Force of Will.
Force of Will. That's perfect.
Yeah. That's a lot of stuff to do to draw one card.
To draw one card. Yeah. Even if you and another player each lost four life.
That's just one.
It only cares if one player did.
If a player, it's not four each. It's
correct.
Not,
yeah. Okay. If a player did, then you draw a card.
I feel like just like being an Esper low-ish. Well, it's four mana. That's not that cheap. But being an Esper commander with the word card draw on it is like worth looking at, right?
Yeah. I feel like if you were playing Talion, I would immediately direct my eyes to this card and go, I get to play Silence and Grand Abolisher in my deck now.
I feel like Talion, the pull between Talion is trigger is a forced draw, and your main win condition is Thassa's Oracle.
Yeah.
And every time you win the game, you have to make sure that your opponents can't cast spells, because if they cast a spell that Talion is on, you have to draw a card with your Thassa's Oracle, empty library, trigger on the stack. That's not good. So like you have to either get rid of your Talion before you want to win, which like... is stupid. Like, what you want to get rid of your draw engine before you win, just like that feels frustrating.
Yeah,
or
right?
You make it so your opponents can't cast spells, but you're in Dimir, so like there's very few ways to do that. So I don't love that part about Talion. It's a good card advantage engine, but to me this one, just I agree with you, although it's not going to draw you quite as many cards as Talion, it does a similar thing, and you can play Talion in the 99,
and it's not gonna shut off other loops though either too, like Talion shuts off Food Chain and
Itali.
That's true. When it comes into names too, I don't play the 3-mana 3/3 in Itali for Food Chain combos.
Yeah.
So there are going to be some things that it does stop, but I don't think that ends up being as worth it as it is to lose out on a color and open yourself up to lose to your own triggers for your main win condition.
Yeah, for me, like, I also, white is just so much important that the things that you mentioned the Talion does. Just having access to white outside of just Dimir, just it feels so much more important with all of the Voice of Resurgence, that's the name
of it?
Voice of Resurgence.
That was the white green card, the only card worthwhile from Dragon's Maze, which is now worth like $3.
I remember that being a $30+ card and feeling it like it was insane. I had to buy it for my Naya deck.
Back in the day, I didn't want to buy four for Blood Pod because it was so expensive.
But it was so good.
Or Birthing Pod.
Yeah,
it wasn't
your CDH
Blood
brain
Pod.
Has taken it over.
Exactly, yeah.
White is good. I would want to play white cards in this style of deck.
Especially if you're trying to get the game to go really long, too. Because, like, I want to be able to have Silenced as an interactive piece instead of, like, some of the bad counter spells that Talion might have to play. You know, get to play Swords to Plowshares instead of, like, Pogdify or something like that. You get to upgrade some of your removal.
It is tricky, though, because as an Esper commander, I feel like now if it's an Esper commander and we're no longer comparing it to Talion, you have to compare this one to something like Marnius or even something like a Blue Farm or a TNT.
I guess, yeah.
Right?
But
because
if you hate
tokens,
because it's so much to keep track of.
I hate tokens, man.
Or if you're really like, you remember how we always tried to get like Rakdos, Punisher, life loss, beatdown strategy to work? Just like,
we did that?
I don't know. I feel like we talked a lot about like, oh, this card works well if you're trying to beat down in Rakdos because it deals 2 damage when someone does something.
Huh.
Like a lot of those like Dockside Punisher cards that dealt
those
damage.
Cards are not good.
I feel like this is like an Esper version of that. You start to get to play like a lot of those cards, but you're in Esper instead of Rakdos.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't feel as strong as a lot of what the other Esper decks are doing. I think I would agree.
I think I would want to play a regular Esper CDH good stuff pile, and my like three includes are Bloodchief's Ascension, Dismember, Snuff Out. And those are my little extras. Talion, technically kind of,
yeah. I mean, like, a lot of the removal that we talked about, you would get to play, too.
Yeah, Snuff Out and Dismember.
Snuff Out and Dismember, yeah. You said that already, yeah. I'm sorry.
Do you want to talk about Snuff Out and Dismember?
I was trying to think about, like, where would I rank this amongst, like, all the other Esper commanders? Like, it's worse than Tivit.
It's so hard to say, though. We haven't even seen it play. But it doesn't have a one-card win condition like Tivit does. And it doesn't provide an insane amount of value like Marnius can.
It caps the amount of cards you can draw.
But it's cheaper than both of those options. It's probably a little bit more, I don't want to say consistent, but, like, steady advantage.
That's true. You'd probably be surprised at how much people lose life on their turn as well, too.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's pretty much all I have to say about Yashalta, I think.
Should we talk about another card?
There's so many legendaries from the set. They're jam-packing the set with legends.
I know, and I've been playing Sisse recently, so it's fantastic because I feel like I have so many options. I do have one Sisse card that I kind of want to talk about.
Yeah, what is it?
I have to... I think his name is Rick. Or... No. It's Kevin. No. Fuck, it's something normal. Shit, what is it?
It's Zach Fair.
Zach!
I really liked you just like naming a bunch of human names that people
have. Yes, Zach. All right.
Is it Connor? Is it Parker?
Hold on, let me.
More like Zach Unfair. Let me get all the jokes out right now.
Zach Fair. For a white mana, you get a legendary creature human soldier that says Zach Fair enters with a +1/+1 counter on it.
Oh, so he's a 1/2 now.
He's a 1/2 all of a sudden because he starts as a 0/1. For one and sacrifice Zach Fair, you may target creature you control gains indestructible until end of turn, put Zach Fair's counters on that creature, and attach an equipment that was attached to Zach Fair to that creature. So I'm not really interested in that equipment part. The +1/+1 counters is kind of the main thing that I'm interested in as for Sisse is that this is a one mana legend that offers protection for my stuff. The issue is it's only indestructible. It's not hexproof. And a lot of the removal is Path to Exile or Sword Splash Air, Cyclonic Rift. It's bouncing and exiling stuff. Or even Dismember, you know what I mean? There's not a ton of really destroy that this does.
But you can move the +1/+1 counter to Sisse though, right?
For one, for two total mana, you can move a counter over to Sisse.
While you're giving her indestructibility.
So
I think that is like something that is like eyebrow raising.
It is interesting. Zach gets to keep his size on the field when he does his thing. Even though he's sacrificing, the size for Sisse matters. I don't know that this card will replace Plankton or what's the real card it's called?
Oh, I don't know. Universes Skrelv. Beyond has fried my brain. That's the only way I know that card now.
Skrelv. I don't think this replaces Skrelv. Skrelv still feels really, really good in the deck. It's like kind of exactly what it's looking for.
Like a repeatable version of Zach Fair.
Right, but this one is good. It's a little bit like a more Bowmaster protection, kind of. It's right away you can use it. You don't have to worry about Summoning Sickness, which is also nice, but you need to spend the extra mana on it, whereas Plankton you don't. So I'm not positive if it's like, at first I was like, oh my god, this is a CDH staple right away, it's going in. And then I'm like, maybe it's only just like testable and it's not like incredible.
It does have haste too. Did you say that about how Plankton can't be used like the turn that you get
it can
him
be used
to?
Right away. Yeah, I did mention, it can be used right away, which is better than Plankton. There are a decent amount of haste enablers in Sisse, but they're not often, that's not how I'm using them. Normally I'm playing Plankton early and then just untapping, playing Sisse afterwards, and then he's ready to protect.
Realistically, I think Plankton is Zach Unfair, and this Zach is really fair.
This is the fair version, but just by it being a one mana legend, I really do think it's worth looking at. If it was another color, I would look at it more because I already have a white one mana legend, but I'm still going to probably try it in Sisse. I think it's worth trying.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. Anytime you have like a cheap legend like that, that is just going to like help pump your Sisse for almost nothing to you, I think that's definitely something worth your while.
I have another cheap legend. I don't know if you have something else, but I have one more cheap legend I'm looking at.
Yeah, hit me with one more cheap legend.
This card is called Bugenhagen Wise Elder.
No, you made that up. That's
no,
not
I
what
swear.
It's called.
It has, he has a very long mustache in the picture. It looks awesome.
Oh, this is the guy.
You know him?
Yeah,
you know this man?
You texted me this man.
I texted you this man.
You...
for, For a one and a green, this is a legendary creature, human shaman with reach. It's a 1/3. It has at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control a creature with power 7 or greater, draw a card. And for the ability of tapping it, you can tap it to make a mana of any color. I already play Ruby in Sisay. This is kind of like Ruby, a 2-mana legend that taps for mana. Ruby, notably, is 2 colors and has haste, which is way better than this. Yeah. But Ruby only taps for 1 color of mana, whereas this taps for any color of mana and sometimes can draw a card. I don't know how often that's going to matter, but I like Orcish Bowmaster. I try to get that card in play often, so having a big token is reasonable, and Sisay can be huge. Normally, by the time Sisay is that big, I'm winning the game pretty soon, but drawing a card right before I'm ready to win the game is helpful. It's like, here's an extra little card. Maybe it's a Fierce Guardianship.
An extra little treat.
Now you know it's time to push. So I don't know. I don't know. It's a card that I'm thinking about. Katilda is another card that I've really thought about a lot. Katilda is a green and a white for a legendary that taps for a mana of any color, but also gives other humans the ability to tap for mana of any color.
That seems really good.
And I feel like I want that over this, but it's a close. I don't know.
I understand where you're coming from, because sadly, I think this is the best card for Atali from the set so far.
It's not really good for Atali.
It's really bad for Atali, yeah. First of all, a 2-mana dork, while it has the body that I would want to see on a 2-mana dork so that it doesn't just like die to everything in existence, I'm not excited about the idea of any 2-mana dork in Atali.
2 to make 1 next turn is not good. If it tapped for 2, if it had haste, and even if it didn't have haste, you'd be playing Ruby. That's not good.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So
yeah,
and it would have to tap for 2 or 3.
I don't have the luxury of going, all right, well, now I can cast Atali, and next turn
I'll draw one card
after I just got 4 free ones
from everyone. This one is a little bit probably less, but I do think it's going in the Sisay pile for me. It's in the world of playability, and Sisay pilots might test this one.
I feel like, though, I don't know.
Yeah, you know,
like you would take out Ruby for this.
I don't know. The 2 colors is like specifically relevant because making Sisay a 4/4 means that Sisay can now find Emanatu, Silvala, or Derevi, which are all like key combo piece, often starters. So the 2 color I feel is like particularly relevant.
Katilda sounds really good.
Katilda sounds really good because oftentimes with Sisay, Katilda will effectively cost 1 mana like over a turn cycle because I'll use Sisay, which is either already in play to tap for something else right away, or next turn I'll be able to tap a Sisay for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, it stinks that like you lose out on the red pip, which I think is like the most important part of
the
Ruby.
The red pip is nice.
But I also feel like if you just like give yourself access to making red with not just Katilda, but also Sisay and like maybe some other
any color. Katilda is any color.
Yeah.
Let me double check on Katilda because I'm pretty sure it's any color.
Who would have thought that when we were talking about this set years ago that it was going to end up being
good. I'd be considering Katilda Dawnheart Prime, which I will read the full official card, which I'm sure has already been on screen. We've been talking about it. But for green and white, you get a legendary creature, human warlock, that has protections from werewolves, which is great. It's a 1/1, which is scary. It's a 1/1 in Bowmaster World, which stinks. But human creatures you control have add 1 mana of any of this creature's colors, not any color. So Katilda can tap for a green or a white. Sisay can tap for a white. That's a little bit less. But it also has, for 4, a green and a white, tap it to put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. There's Gavity Township on it, which, that's so much mana,
that
right?
That is a lot of mana, yeah.
But the size boost in Sisay? No, that's bad.
I don't know. Yeah. All right, maybe Ruby's still better.
Ruby only taps for a red? No, sorry. Ruby taps for a red or a green. I misspoke earlier. Ruby taps for a red or a green. She has haste, and she also has, when Ruby attacks while you control the creature with power 4 or greater, Ruby gets +2/+2 until end of turn.
Okay, yeah.
I still think Ruby is... The haste is huge. The haste mana is particularly huge.
So you don't like lose out on like the fact that when you need to search her up for pips, like you can still end up using her to help you keep progressing with Sisay.
Right.
And I think that is really important. Like this guy, you can still search up. But
yeah, and Ruby, you want to play before you play Sisay, but with Katilda, you want to play Sisay before you play the Katilda, because in an ideal world, you play the Sisay, then you play Katilda, then you tap the Sisay right away for the white mana to play Esper Sentinel or something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, you ideally want to play Ruby off of like a turn 1 land Chromox type of hand, so you can play Ruby into Birds of Paradise right away, and it can give you that like explosive beginning start.
That feels way better.
Which is, I think, is what you want more, but Katilda's still close.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Yeah. So I'm a little medium on that guy. He's still an option that you might have, and I don't think I'm putting him in a tally, even though he is the best card for a tally so far.
I don't think he's a tally card.
I don't think I'm putting him in, yeah.
Why are you afraid of the rain? You're not normally scared of the rain.
Jack seems like he's doing okay.
Did he give his fear to you? Jack, did you give your fear to Jill?
That's a handy ability. That's pretty nifty.
If Jack was an anime character, his power would revolve around fear somehow. I think he stores a lot of it, and then his final move is he like gives it all to you. He's like really scared in like the whole fight he's losing, and then now you're terrified. You're a big strong guy, but you're terrified and you're shaking. If it's just a little guy, he comes to you and he goes like this.
Oh, he's like, we met that character. Watching Thousand Year Blood War.
We haven't met that character?
No, we did. We met him a little bit.
Remember, I didn't come up with this. I thought I came up with this.
He eviscerates Byakuya in the first invasion.
And his power is he gives you his fear?
We'll go into it a little bit more.
I don't even know it yet.
In season two.
It's
yeah.
in my subconscious.
But he
I picked
talked
up
about
on it.
Fear a lot already. We'll
maybe
see
that's
more
why
of
it's
him.
In my brain. Yeah. Okay. All right. Never mind.
It's not that it's not awesome. Like, if he is an anime character, he can have that. Like, name five anime characters with fire-based abilities. So hard, because nobody copies this each other.
Don't put me on the spot like that.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Do you have any other Final Fantasy cards you want to talk about?
Yeah, I guess one other one that I feel like there's a Mardu commander that people are talking about that I haven't looked into a ton.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like, is it the other version of Terra?
No, it's Celestial or something.
Oh, yeah. This seems way better, yeah. The other version of Terra would have been great if Dockside Extortionist was still around.
Oh,
yeah,
right,
that's
okay.
That's what that was, yeah. But this is Celeste, Rune Knight. This is one, a red, a white, and a black, so we're in Mardu, for a 4/4 legendary human wizard knight. And when she enters, you discard any number of cards, then draw that many cards plus one. Whenever one or more creatures you control enter, if one or more of them entered from a graveyard or was cast from a graveyard, you put a plus one counter on each creature you control. Oh, yeah, this just goes infinite with a fucking ham sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah, which ham sandwich? That was so many words. For some reason, I felt
it's
myself spacing
words,
out a
yeah.
little bit.
So name a sacrifice outlet that you like.
Carrion Feeder.
Great. So if you have Carrion Feeder, thankfully we were talking about Birthing Pod in Modern because the Persist combos with Malira work with this.
With Murderous Redcap.
Exactly. That's the name of the card I was fishing for. Yeah. So if you have Murderous Redcap and your Carrion Feeder in play, every time you sacrifice your Murderous Redcap, it will come back into play because Murderous Redcap has Persist, so it enters with a -1/-1 counter and deals damage equal to its power to something when it enters play.
Okay.
So it enters, deals one damage when it comes back into play, but it gets the +1/+1 counter.
Which negates the -1/-1 counter from Persist.
You know what? So that means it might actually enter and deal two damage upon enter.
Nice.
Kill him
twice as fast.
Yeah, which doesn't matter because what really happens is because you're negating the -1/-1 counter, when it dies again, Persist no longer sees the -1/-1 counter that it originally was given from its original death.
Okay, so Murderous Redcap is the cleanest way to do this with a sac outlet, but if you have a Persist creature, a sac outlet, and then any sort of payoff from an enters or a dies, anything like that, anything like a Blood Artist or something like that, that's also game with your commander out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, so like Blood Artist and the there's like an Undying Ghoul that's just two mana.
I got to imagine if this card does become a CDH commander and we are going with the Persist line, we would just go with Murderous Redcap and not try to do what I just said. It's just an option, right? Like, you don't want extra pieces. You don't want a Persist and a Blood Artist and a Sac Outlet and your commander. That's too much stuff.
That feels like it's too much
stuff
to me.
You want Murderous Redcap, Sac Outlet, your commander.
Yeah, because there's a ton of Sac Outlets that you can have. So I feel like what a lot of the time you would be doing is just using your tutor to find Murderous Redcap, or just even like entomb it into your graveyard, have like reanimate so that you can get it into play that way, and you can like really turbo that out, use your commander to like help you find more ways to get that. And then you have plenty of sac outlets between Altar of Dementia, which is, I guess, another way that you could win the game too, because you can alter people out if someone has... I was going to say one ring protection, but you have to target them to alter them out. Yeah.
What is the... I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What are the other words that this says? What is the stuff that it does?
So when it enters, discard any number of cards, then draw that many cards plus one.
Okay, that many plus one. Do you think we're wheeling with this, or are we like discarding one, draw two? I guess it's going to depend so much.
I think it's going to be more like discard one, draw two.
Okay.
Do you think there's a way that you can like...
It's a good dredge, Commander.
I was going to say like play Flicker. With this, like, you can play Flicker or Cloud Shift even, because we're not in Deata, right? So we can even play Cloud Shift or Ephemerate. And then is there enough cards that you can, like, use it as your grindstone to, like, Ephemerate and, like, LED and go back and forth?
Oh.
No, because LED makes you discard your hand.
Right. And this one, you have to discard the card to draw the cards.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just Mardu colors. That's the issue, is that you're lacking blue, but that's okay. It's a little slow, right? It's 4 mana.
That's still okay, yeah.
Deata's 4 mana. Deata works really well with Breach, so does this.
I feel like Deata, you can cast Deata and, like, win the game after you cast Deata, though.
You make the mana right away. It's not really 4 mana. It
lets you cast the tutor and the flicker for right afterwards to make more mana, or like however you want to go about it. Like, there's way more that Deata does on enter that I think is more impactful.
And Deata specifically works with Underworld Breach, an already extremely powerful CDH card, whereas this card
works with Phyrexian Arena.
And Phyrexian Altar and Murderous Redcap. I mean. Murderous Redcap, yeah. Maybe a little bit less on this one.
Yeah, I'm not as excited about this one as some of the other ones.
But it's close.
Yeah, I just don't think it's what it's doing is powerful enough. It makes me want to play bad cards, which I don't think I want to do.
That's normally not a good recipe,
like,
right?
Like, at least Terra made us want to play more enchantments, but we got to play like enchantments that feel like they're really good in the CEDH metagame.
Like Mirror Maid, I feel like, is just a really good card in today's metagame.
Yeah, right? Same with Copy Enchantment, like, or Steel Enchantment if you're in like a tournament setting. Whereas I feel like I'm more incentivized to play more copies of Viscera Seer and Altar of Dementia and like these other 1 mana sac outlets. Like, I'm not doing myself any favors except giving myself fuel to discard extra cards for when Celeste comes into play.
Yeah, yeah. And opening yourself up to a lot of other interaction, I think.
Yeah.
Also, you're just weak to like 1,000 different graveyard things and removal of everything. I don't know. Yeah, I kind of agree.
Now, is there something I can do with Abdel Adrian in this deck? Like, can I Abdel Adrian for like a bunch of mana, loop through my deck with her, and then piece together a win with something?
Yeah, you loop through your deck and then eventually do the Savine's Breach thing or something like that.
There
right?
you go. And then you win with something.
Yeah, with Praetor's Grasp Grape for a Thoracle. Maybe Praetor's Grasp.
Praetor's Grasp for a Thoracle then, yeah.
Or the line that we talked about, the Murderous Redcap thing.
Something about Orcish Bowmaster, maybe.
Something Orcish Bowmaster.
Oh, yeah. You just end up reanimating Orcish Bowmaster, and then you just continue your Abdel Adrian loop.
Yeah.
And then...
yeah, that's easy.
Oh, that's way easier.
You just include Praetor's Grasp and Orcish Bowmaster, and then boom.
Now you can actually do stuff conditions in the deck. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you can win without blue.
You win without blue, yeah.
Do we have one more? We've talked about 4 cards.
We've talked about 5.
We've already talked about 5.
This has been 5 cards.
What was the most popular Final Fantasy?
Final Fantasy 7.
Should we talk about 2 more?
Should we talk about 2 more to make it the 7 cards? All right, yeah.
The first good 7 cards that we think are good in CEDH.
In CEDH. They have to be good in CEDH. It can't be like...
Theoretically good.
Theoretically
like potentially good.
Okay.
We've already talked about Vivi, so we're not going to do that. Vivi.
Yeah, here's a card I saw today. I don't know what to make of it, but maybe it's something. It's called Snort. That kind of made me laugh too, yeah. It's 3 and a red for a sorcery. Each player may discard their hand, then draw 5 cards. Then Snort deals 5 damage to each opponent who discarded their hand this way, and it has flashback for 5 and a red.
Flashback?
What the fuck?
You can gamble for a wheel now? Is that what
I can hellbent gamble for a wheel now.
Is that good? Huh.
Let me think about this for Atali, actually.
How much to flash it back?
It's... six mana to flash it back. And it's not quite a wheel because you only draw five cards.
Discard your hand, draw five.
Discard your hand and draw
for
five.
For seven total mana if you're gambling for it.
That doesn't sound great, yeah.
But your deck makes seven mana pretty good.
Atali does make seven mana very good. There's actually, you
How
know
How much
what?
Is the front side?
I did lie. There is another card that might actually be okay with Atali that I know is going to be our seventh card. Yeah, but let's keep talking about Snort for a second before I go off the rails.
How much is it again from the...
It's four mana, three and a red.
This is Will of the Jeskai, which I have been testing Will of the Jeskai. I guess this is a new thing that they're trying. Four mana, wheel for five, I think is a new...
Yeah, seems like a fair spot to be.
A fair spot they're trying, I guess.
But this is like Will of the Jeskai combined with Wheel of Misfortune.
Because they can choose, yeah.
Yeah, your opponents can choose
if
they
want to
wheel.
Well, they can choose for you, though.
No.
Wheel of Misfortune, your opponents can decide you don't wheel. That card sucks ass.
That's true, yeah. But your opponents can choose to wheel.
Right.
But they'll get damage.
Damage. Most of the time, they probably won't wheel, I would imagine. They're not going to take that. How much damage
five,
is it?
Yeah, it's five damage. And if you have a Bowmaster in play, like they definitely won't.
Oh, yeah, they won't. But
like, there's a lot of times where if you cast that against me in a tally, and I'm looking at like two cards in my hand, I'm going,
five.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Fuck
I want those.
Yeah. It could be bad. It could be real bad. Especially because like it's going to be harder to win the game after four mana draw five than it will be after three mana draw seven, right? Yeah. Just mathematically, it's going to be harder to win the game after that.
Yeah, and all the good things that allow you to break parity with wheels, this won't let you do.
Because you don't take the damage.
You will never take the damage. This is always a discard your hand, draw five for you.
That's good.
Maybe something else will happen.
But yeah, you're right, that you can't force your opponents to draw the card.
No, yeah, it being a browbeat, right? Like, they can either draw and take five, or they don't.
They don't
do anything.
Just nothing
this
happens.
Was just
yeah.
Discard your hand and draw five cards is not good for
four
mana.
It'll be the best for all of them. The one with eight cards in their hand doesn't take it, the one with 10 cards in their hand doesn't take it, and the Atala player who's hellbent says,
That's only two mana with treasonous hunger.
Yeah, exactly.
This is great.
You got to play it right, but it's considerable. You're right. It's considerable.
I think it is considerable.
The hellbent gamble to go get it potentially if you have 1,000 mana. Well, I don't know what that situation is, but... That makes it worth it.
It's an option. Yeah. If you need cards, right? Right now, my options for empty-handed gamble are Squee for a easy thing to get for Food Chain, right? And then the Electro Duplicate, which is just a way to get an extra Chunky. But if I don't have Chunky in play...
And you don't have a win condition.
Because Chunky might be like 9 mana instead, and I don't have that, like... Being able to gamble for this seems not half bad.
I would want to try it if I were you. Maybe not in a tournament, but I would want to get a couple games in with it and see if it comes up.
Yeah, I have a hard time knowing what card I want to cut for this. I also want to keep in mind, I'm going to look at this card on the front side in my opening hand, too.
Wait, that has another side?
Yeah, the front side is 4 mana. Each player may discard their hand and draw 5 cards.
Oh.
Not the flashback thing is what I mean. Like, I'm going to look at it in my opening hand and go, God damn it, I wish this was literally anything to help me get Chunky out or like any kind of better mid-rangey piece.
Yeah, in hand it's terrible. It's only bad if things have gone terribly wrong and maybe just make your deck so that things don't go terribly wrong.
Yeah, and at least Electro Duplicate does something good when I don't have it.
It's still fine.
Or yeah, when I don't have an empty hand and I can still do things with Chunky.
That was our sixth card?
That was the sixth card. Yeah, because we talked about
the Esper one.
The five color
food chain, the two Sisse cards.
Now this.
This, but then what was, there was another card then, according to you.
According to you, yeah, Celeste, the Mardu one.
The Mardu one, that was the other one. Okay, there we go. Okay,
one
more.
All right, yeah, I have to find it. I think it was from the Commander set because it has Foretell. Dude, Life Stream's Blessing. Do you want to hear a magical Christmas land for Chunky? So this is... 4 and 2 green for an instant that says draw X cards where X is the greatest power among creatures you controlled as you cast the spell. So they fixed the whole, I bounced your big creature, now you draw one card thing. If this spell was cast from exile, you gain twice X life, too. And you foretell it for 4 and a green.
Oh.
So it's 6 mana. With Chunky in play, it's 6 mana, draw 7.
Huh.
At instant speed, but if I flip into it, it's for free, draw 7, gain 14 life.
Huh.
Which
the gaining life
good.
Is irrelevant. It helps your Treasonous Ogre.
It does help my Treasonous Ogre, yeah. It feels like it's another version of that...
Disciple of Frailes?
Thank you, yeah.
Is that
I
what
couldn't
it is?
Think of that, the name of that card.
Yeah, that one's a land on the backside, an untapped land.
Which is way better. Like, having access to that as a land is way better than having the Foretell option for this.
Yeah.
It's like trying to combine Disciple of Fraeleys with Delayed Blast Fireball.
Yeah,
which is a card I haven't included in a tally because...
You don't care about anyone's shit.
No, and it's at odds with itself. Like, yeah, if I cast it from Exile, now it can deal with Drannith Magistrate, but I'm never going to do that.
The thing that you care about doesn't let you cast things with a tally, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, this is something that, like, feels like it's okay, but at least, like, Disciple is something I can do when it's in my opening hand, just as a land to help me get Chunky, or... Maybe it's something where if I need to sacrifice Chunky and draw seven or get rid of just like some other stupid bum creature just to help progress me a little bit more if I need to. Like, I think it just does more for less.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, this is another one I feel like is worth trying. Six mana is a ton, right?
Six mana is a ton. It's another one of these that like I'll look at it in my hand and go, I wish this was literally anything else.
How do you foretell it? For four and then two later? Or
for four and then green.
And then just green?
No, you pay two mana to foretell it.
Okay.
And then later you can cast it for four and a green.
For four and a green.
So by giving two mana of a up front, you get a one mana discount.
Okay.
This is literally like a loan. This is the most loany... real life loan
in
the history of anything else. We have to put more mana into it to get less out.
It allows you to turn your turn one Soul Rings and Ancient Tombs into this so that you can kind of more quickly do that. But you want to use the mana on Atali first. And then after you've used the mana on Atali, you normally don't have more mana that turn right away.
That's the thing.
You wait until next turn. But this is another card that, like, if things have gone wrong, this is good. But like things like Disciple of Fraeleys has the option of being an untapped land. So it's good when things are going right and when they're going wrong.
I'd rather play Springheart Nantuko as a things are going wrong card.
Sure.
Like something that I can put on Atali and then for like way less of an investment, I can just like get another Atali. Because what happens is...
you should try that card. Why haven't you?
Because I don't know Landfall. That I'm quite there for it yet. Yeah, I don't play that many lands.
Yeah.
I'm on 27 lands. I'm not guaranteed to have a land after I Atali.
Yeah.
A lot of the times when I do have it.
That's another one that feels close though.
Yeah. And like Atali exiles all of the lands that I would get. So I feel like if I could get lands with Atali if I needed them.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that would also make Atali worse.
I think you want to play more cards that are good before you get the commander in play and as you play the commander.
Yeah. Rather exactly.
Than, like we were talking about before. Ruby is good because it is good both before you play Sissei and after you play Sissei.
Right.
But Katilda is really best when you play it after you play Sissei and kind of only okay slash not the best when you play it before. I think it's a similar situation to these
Disciple
cards.
Of Fraeleys is good before my commander because it can help cast my commander.
Right. And then after too when things have gone wrong.
When it puts it back in my command zone even when I want it to go back there sometimes.
Yeah.
Whereas this one is only good after my commander's out and then I have to do a whole other thing.
Okay. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm medium on this one.
It sounds like it'll do something good, but I feel
great in high power. Great in bracket four.
Gnarly in bracket four.
Definitely.
Yeah. Especially bracket four Chunky, if that's something that you do.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You have like no friends anymore.
Yeah. I think that was seven good cards.
I thought that was seven good cards. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Okay. I don't really have anything. I've been doing some Chunky math.
Okay.
But I don't know that I want to talk about that yet.
Chunky math.
Chunky math. What are the odds that I find Demonic Tutor in your deck? That's what I've been trying to figure out.
Oh,
when Chunky.
One out of 99.
One out of, well, not really 99 because like a lot of them are lands, right? So if a lot of your cards are lands, then Chunky doesn't find them.
One out of 67?
Like 72 of your cards are like.
One out of 70-ish.
So that means that it rounds up to 1.4% chance that I find one specific card if you have 72 cards in your library.
Okay, that's helpful to know.
Or I should say if you have 72 options in your library, but that's also not necessarily true though because you have some of those options in your opening hand though. Yeah. So maybe that takes away.
I don't think
like
so because you don't know what those cards, you don't know that.
That's why it's more like one specific card that you're trying to find, I guess. Instead of just like the Demonic Tutor is just like my example. But like if I'm trying to hit like one specific card without knowing what's in your hand, what are the odds that it could be that?
This is good. We should work on this for another.
I think I want to keep working.
Return to
on it.
Atali. Yeah.
It's more like tutors. I think that's a better way to do it. What's 5 divided by 72? Well, okay, there's now actually like close to a 7% chance that I'll find a tutor in your deck if you play five tutors.
Most people play more than five tutors.
Right? Like if you're in black and you play Demonic Tutor, Imperial Seal, Vampiric Tutor, Wishclaw Talisman, now just like one more top deck tutor is five tutors. And if you play any more top deck tutors, that's even more then, right?
Right, yeah. So you are at almost a 10% chance to hit a tutor.
From one player, and then you give that two more additional tries.
Yeah.
That sounds bad.
No, it's good.
It's good. Okay. I was getting nervous trying to do this chunky math going like, these odds don't sound good. They don't sound good. I have a 7% chance of hitting something that I want. And I was like, what about the odds that I hit mana? Okay. So let's say that you play 28 lands, but 20 more cards in your deck are mana, right? So that means that 20 out of 72, that's a 27, almost 28% chance I'm going to hit a mana source instead.
But it's okay. You can use it.
Which is okay.
Mana.
Yeah. Because if that helps me then cast a thing that I tutor for, I think maybe that's why it works out.
Right. Yeah.
I have two instances of good chances of hitting mana. And if one of the other ones is a tutor or a chunky flipper in my deck, which has the same odds as tutors in a lot of decks, then.
Yeah. But if you have a roughly 7% chance from each opponent to hit a tutor, does that mean that you have a 21% chance to hit a tutor?
No, I don't think that's how that works. Because in my brain, in my head, I was like, a 21% chance to hit a tutor actually sounds really good.
Right, because that would mean that if you flicker a Tali, that's 42, that's basically 50. Yeah. Two Vitalis is basically a tutor. It's 50-50 shot of a tutor.
You're like guaranteed to find a tutor at
that
point.
Four Vitalis, right? That's one tutor minimum.
But it does feel like that is how that works though, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I think these are good points. We should work more on this for a Tali too.
I agree. Yeah. Okay. This was the Play to Win Science section of the podcast.
Thanks so much for watching. If you like Sports Directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Ben Gillette, The Cardboard Cookbook, Penguinman 0089, Eli the Magic Guy, David Newman, Pat Fire, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larson E. Roars, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Zunon, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Groompy, Gecko 21, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Gare Bear Garrett, Luke Cook, Connor Stillbon, Joshua Day, Demon of Rosgrees, Peter Stewart, Cornel Wild, Uncle Butts, Quadja A. Hamid, Scott Hawk, and Baby Jeebus. Thanks, Cam, for reading them. Check out our, you say the next thing, I guess.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 at our affiliate link down below for 5% off.
You can follow us on social media for more content.
Thank you for watching.
See you next time.
John Koba, The Gaming Kinkajou, Dan the Man, Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Bill Bob, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Justin Mansolo, Jan Wildfink, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson. I'm glad we don't record the podcast outside.
Yeah, because of the thunder.
Yeah, because of the thunder, yeah.
Is this thing on?